You know, there's anything that is certain about the world and the times we live in, that would be, in fact, the absolute uncertainty of these times. Whether you're looking at the political situation, the social situation, the economic situation, the military situation, the geopolitical situation, wherever it is you look, we are completely surrounded by uncertainty. It seems as if everything we look at is disintegrating, imploding, collapsing. And the reality is that's not by accident, that is by design. Certainly Satan behind this world system, and then his minions within politics and government and finance and media that help perpetuate that. And yet, even though we live in such a world, in such a time, where it seems like everything is falling apart, there is in fact one who is sure. There is one who is in fact solid. There is one who is trustworthy. There is one who is in fact dependable. There is one who in fact is greater. As we open God's Word in 1 John chapter 5, we look at verses 18 through 20. Before we even read the text, look at the very first words of each of those verses. Look how verse 18 begins. We know. Verse 19, we know. Verse 20, and we know. In the midst of all of this chaos, in the midst of all of this uncertainty, in the midst of all of this disintegration, there is one who is sure, real, solid. There is one whom we can know is in fact real, dependable, and in fact trustworthy. Notice what we read, what we see as we look at this entire passage. 1 John chapter 5, verses 18 through 20. We know that no one who is born of God sins, but he who is born of God keeps him, and the evil one does not touch him. We know that we're of God, and that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding, so we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, and in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. As we look at the absolute certainty and surety of Jesus Christ, and what he brings, what he gives, and what we experience in him, look what we see when we look at this passage. And I want us, first of all, to begin by looking at the last one, because it actually serves as the summary statement of these verses. But by being the summary statement, it actually is the foundation. As we look at this passage, looking first of all at verse 20, we see the Savior's sureness, the absolute reliability and dependability about who he is and what he brings. Notice again, verse 20, and we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding, so we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. As we look at the Savior's sureness, we see clearly, A, that he has come. As we look at this, we see clearly that he is the only begotten Son of God. Jesus Christ is no mere man. He is the only begotten Son of God who lived, died, and rose again to give salvation to any who will place their faith and trust in him. This is the whole point, you may recall, of the Gospel of John. Think of what we read in John chapter 20, verse 31, the thesis statement of the Gospel of John. But these have been written. Remember, John only records seven miracles, but each of them shows that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. But these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. We need to understand there can be no legitimate speculating about who Jesus Christ is. He has clearly revealed who he is. He's left no doubt as to who he is. He has clearly evidenced who he is. We are before the one who is in fact sovereign. We are before the one who rules and reigns. We are before the one who is in control. And while it seems like everything is chaotic and falling apart, what we actually see is God moving in spite of all of his enemies' attempts against him. We see that he is moving this world to the fulfillment of his eternal plan for the ages. We need to understand the Savior's sureness. Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, proven beyond a shadow of a doubt, and as we remember anything in the midst of this chaotic world, we have a living, ruling, sovereign, almighty Savior. And as we face all the chaos, all the seeming uncertainty, we have a Lord who rules and reigns. commands. He has come, the only begotten Son of God, leaving no doubt whatsoever who he is. And if you're wondering, you know, where can you look for strength, guidance, reality, truth, something to hold on to, some reason to go through all of this, you don't have to look any further than him, because he has come. He is the one who is sure. We see he has come, but notice as well, as we look at that 20th verse, he is true. Now, I know we live in a time where truth is, the whole concept of truth is disliked, and the whole concept of truth today is brushed off as being relative. You know, I have a truth, you have a truth, she has a truth, he has a truth, everybody has their own truth. Well, let me give you, and we've done this before, let me give you a synonym for truth: reality. If it's true, it's real. If it's real, it's true. And we need to understand that Jesus Christ is in fact true. He is the source of truth. He is the standard of truth. He is in fact the very definition of truth. And anything that's counter to him is in fact counterfeit and false. You think about what we see in John chapter 14 and verse 6. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me." And the significance of that is this, that in the midst of life and living and all this that we're uncertainty and chaos that we're living in, he is the one that we can build our life upon. Like, you know, an aircraft designer relying on the laws of aerodynamics, or a civil engineer basing, you know, his bridge design on engineering principles. He is real. He is solid. You can, in fact, build your life upon him. And only in him can you have the certainty and confidence. I remember a Sunday school teacher I had shortly after the Lord began to work in my heart and caused me to bring me to himself in growth shortly after my dad died of cancer. But I remember this Sunday school teacher was a little bit unique, or a little bit different in his background. Grew up in a Christian home. Kind of somewhat wandered away, went through a very difficult period of time in his life, dropped out of college, had a friend of his who was somewhat well off, and they just basically left everything to go sell, you know, wherever they wanted to in the world on a yacht, on a sailboat. His friend had somewhat of needs. And, you know, Walter was trying to find the answers to life, and by his own testimony, he took a duffel bag. And in that, not only for the clothes, but other things, but in the duffel bag, you know, he put every book that he could find that supposedly have answers. He took, you know, all the works of the Greek philosophers, you know, Plato, Aristotle, so on and so forth. Took all the Near Eastern mysticists, all their works, went into the bookstore, cleaned them out of all the self-help books. And just because, you know, he wanted to cover all the bases, he chucked, and by his own words, chucked the Bible in there. And as they were sailing, you know, he'd go to the duffel bag, he'd pull out a book. He'd get, you know, a few pages into it, figured, you know, this is a bunch of rubbish, and throw it overboard in the ocean. He'd come up to the Bible, and I'm not ready for that, leave it at the bottom of the duffel bag, keep going through all these various books. Finally, there was nothing left in the duffel bag but the Bible. Sat down on the deck, began to read. The Holy Spirit began to truly speak to him. He spoke to him, "This is real. This is solid. All the ideas and concepts and philosophies from literally one end of the globe to the other, from ancient times to modern times, didn't hold water. God's word did, because it was from a Savior who was real and true." As we're here before the Lord, we are before the one who is true. He is the one that you can in fact build your life upon. He has come. He is true. Notice as well, he is life. Still in verse 20, he has given us understanding so we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. I know we read that phrase, eternal life, and we usually pick up on the first word, which is absolutely true. It's eternal. When we trust him, we do get to be with the Father forever. But it is eternal life beginning at that time. It is the God-filled life. It is a life that has meaning, a life that has purpose. It's the life for which we were created to begin with. It's the life that we're recreated through Christ to experience. Again, John 14:6, that we looked at just a moment ago, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh unto the Father but by me. Nothing else can provide the reality and the substance that makes life worth living but Jesus Christ. You know, as I was reviewing this, I thought again of the testimony of the actor Dean Jones. And reading his testimony, he's actually in the back of Evidence That Demands a Verdict, if you have that book. But Dean Jones, you know, talked about how the Lord brought him to himself, looking back at a period of time in his life, and then the very late 60s, very early 70s. And at that time, he had what you would think would, you know, everything that you think would, you know, make you happy and fulfilled. Very successful actor at that time. Owned and drove, you know, his car was a Ferrari. As he said, a basement full of racing motorcycles. That was his hobby, his interest. When he was working on movie projects, he was being paid between $15,000 and $20,000 a week. And keep in mind, those are late 1960s dollars. You know that you do the math for what that would mean today. And yet in the midst of all that, having what seemed to be everything, there was just an absolute emptiness. There was no peace. There was nothing. And he went through the circumstances that the Lord used to bring to himself. And he talked about the night when he actually placed his faith and trust in Christ. He said, you know, when he got through praying, for the first time, there was a peace. There was a stillness. There was, in fact, for the first time in his life, real life from within. Jesus Christ and Christ alone is the one who can give life, who can give meaning, who can give purpose, who in fact can give fulfillment. And in the midst of this chaos, in the midst of this disintegration, we have the Savior's sureness. He has come, He is true, and in Him alone, is there truly genuine life. The Savior's sureness. But we also see, as we look at this passage, the Savior's salvation. Look back at verse 18 now. Remember verse 20 acts like the summary statement. Verse 18, the Savior's salvation. We know that no one who is born of God sins, but he who is born of God keeps him, and the evil one does not touch him. We have the Savior's salvation in conversion. When John talks there and says that we know that no one who's born of God sins, he means in an active, continuous, ongoing state. We've already seen in 1 John how, yes, as believers we sin. We don't lose our salvation. We lose our fellowship. But when we confess, as we see in John 1:9, we're in fact cleansed and restored back. But what he's talking about here is the ongoing practice. He's talking here about something that unfortunately we in the modern church don't talk about, don't even want to address. That's the fact that when somebody comes to a genuine salvation, that there is a change that takes place within them when the Holy Spirit brings them to Himself. In fact, is we don't even dare to use the word that our grandparents and great-grandparents used to use in regards of salvation, the word conversion. Because heaven forbid that we would expect someone who, you know, had had a life-changing encounter with Jesus Christ to be changed from the inside out. And yet that is, in fact, the biblical truth. You think about what our Lord said in John chapter 3, verse 3, very familiar. Jesus answered and said to him, as he's talking to Nicodemus, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. What's the concept there of being born again? A whole new life from within. A changed life from within. 2 Corinthians 5:21, He made Him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. If you're here this morning, you know Jesus Christ. Think back on your life. You're not the person you were before He brought you to Himself in salvation, are you? In fact, as you think about your walk with the Lord, you're not the same person that you were even some brief time ago. As He convicts you, guides you, teaches you, sifts you, refines you, grows you, matures you, the Savior's salvation, as we go through our life, He makes us to be more like Himself. The real experience of walking with the Savior and knowing Him. We know by experience, He has changed me. He has delivered me. And by the way, that ought to be a point in which we examine ourselves. If we profess a salvation and there is no change and there's no discipline from the Lord, as we saw last week, it's time to ask ourselves some very probing questions about the reality and legitimacy of what we are claiming as a salvation. Because if we know Christ, we know the difference He makes. You might not be able to graph it. You might not be able to outline it with a PowerPoint or whatever, but it's real. You know, what's the old hymn say? I won't sing it for you. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. And one of the ways we know that's because of the change He brings within us. Jesus Christ is real. We know the Savior's salvation in conversion, but also being protection. When we place our faith and trust in Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to live within us. He guides us. He teaches us. He defends us. Look again at the latter part of verse 18. But he who is born of God keeps him, and the evil one does not touch him. Satan is real. Even though the world system, I used to say laughs at him, but increasingly worships him and is becoming more blatantly obvious. Even though many refined professing Christians try to deny the concept, Satan is in fact real. He is the one behind this world system. And while he cannot cause us to lose our salvation, and he cannot possess us, he can oppress us, he can tempt us, he can test us. He is in fact the accuser of the brethren. He can only do, however, what God allows him to do, such as when you see with Job or Peter. And yet we have a very real enemy. And yet we have one who is greater than that, who will in fact protect us. And in this world where he is becoming, his work, his hand is becoming ever more obvious and blatant and open, how we need to seek the shepherd. You know, as we've stated before, wolves and the wolf are not the least bit afraid of the sheep. But Satan, the big wolf, is absolutely terrified of the shepherd. How we need to be close to him. The reality of his protection. And in these times in which we live, we need to be seeking that protection. In our thinking and our acting, just in world events around us, we need to be seeking him. You go back, you read the 23rd Psalm, that's exactly how we need to live our lives, under his care and under his protection. We have the Savior's salvation in conversion, in protection, and we need to walk in the reality of it. Again, you can't pull out empirical evidence, you can't graph it, but for the child of God, it's real, and we can walk in it. We have the Savior's sureness. We have the Savior's salvation. But I want you to notice as well, three, the Savior's separation. Look at verse 19. We know that we are of God and that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. This is the reality of the world system. And by world system, as we've seen in John, man's society that either at the very least ignores God, leaves him out, but also increasingly, more blatantly, rebels against him. And understand, it's not just man doing this on his own. Understand the one who's behind it. He makes it very clear here. The whole world lies in his power. I like how the late J. Vernon McGee defined that or described that. The whole world sits in Satan's lap. You think about it. Almost like a little lap dog, if you will. The world system sits in his lap. You think about what we see in 1 John chapter 3 and in verse 10. By this the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother. Our Lord, in his salvation, in bringing us to himself, separates us from that unto himself. Again, we've already seen the expression, born again. Born again is what? Children of God. And he separates us from this world system unto himself. And you think about the grace of God in doing so. He takes you and I, who in our very nature are rebels against God, children of the devil, the book of Ephesians makes that very clear, children of wrath, and he separates us unto himself. You think about salvation from being rebels to being chosen and adopted children of God. You think about going from being a rebel to being able, as we read in Romans 8, 14 through 15, for all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you've received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. As believers, we know that we are in fact his dearly beloved children. You think of the words that we read in the book of Jeremiah. Yes, written to the nation of Judah, but it's true for every child of God. Believers, it's true for you this morning. Jeremiah 31:3. The Lord appeared to him from afar, saying, and this is true for every one of us, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have drawn you with loving kindness. You think about God's awesome work in separating us to himself. Child of God, do you know who or what you are this morning in the midst of this world? You are his. You are his child by his grace. He has separated you unto himself. And everything in God's word and everything that his Spirit would testify if we would but seek him and commune with him confirms that we are his children. The wonderful reality of Jesus Christ, even in times like these, even in a world such as this, the reality, the certainty of Jesus Christ. Now you think about those wonderful truths that the Holy Spirit inspired John to write. Very clear, very easy. Short passage. Easy, I don't think there's probably a person in this room who cannot understand everything that was stated. But I want to ask you this morning, do you understand that by personal experience? Have you had the experience where the Holy Spirit has personally convicted you of your sins, of your need of salvation, where he has opened your eyes to see his eternal love for you, to see that he came, lived, died, and rose again for you? As we've stated before, I'm not talking about religion, church membership, church participation. I'm talking about a personal one-on-one encounter with eternal God through Jesus Christ. Or could it be this morning that you need to know the reality of Christ, not just his words upon the page, but by his Spirit within your heart? Could it be that you need to trust him this morning? Child of God, you think about the realities that are here, not just for your head, but for your heart and for your walk. Is this your ongoing experience? Or have you allowed your mind to be clouded, your walk to be tripped up by sin, your heart to have grown cold? Do you need to meet with this wonderful Lord and deal with anything that's keeping you from experiencing him? Seek his face and walk with him. As we prepare to leave this world, deliberately being destroyed by the enemy and obviously his minions, most of what we hear are blatant lies. Are you ready to leave here walking with the one who is true, the one who will guide you in all truth, and the one who will in fact carry and protect you. Because more than ever, we need Him. We desperately need Him in this time. Will you leave this place this morning walking with this one who is real and this one who is true? He is here, He is present, He is real. Do you need to meet with Him this morning?